Now, being the first Wednesday of the month, and you can't get much closer than when the Wednesday's the first, we've got with us our private investigator, Peter, from Absolute Facts. How are you, Peter?
I'm not too bad, thank you, Alan. Yourself?
Very well, too. I just need to get you a bit louder, if I can, if you can be a little bit closer to the computer.
How's that? A little better?
Yeah, that'll do. Peter, now, we said you last time when we were talking, you started talking about Ponzi schemes and pyramid schemes. And obviously I've had a couple of people ring me up afterwards and say, well, what's the difference? And we did ask you to, if you could explain the difference to us, please, Mark.
Yeah, sure. So both Ponzi and pyramid schemes are illegal frauds that rely on using money from new investors to pay older investors.
Right.
However, their structures are entirely different. A Ponzi scheme is centralised around an investor who promises returns, whereas a pyramid scheme requires participants to recruit others to make money.
Right. I don't want to use names, but there was a guy that's been in the paper, hasn't he, about racehorses, and he was supposed to be taking money for racehorses, didn't exist. Is that a Ponzi or is that a pyramid? That would be a Ponzi scheme, wouldn't it?
That would be a Ponzi, yeah. So because he's not asking people to recruit others necessarily anyway,
yep,
the return. So to go on to clarify that a little bit more, so the structure of a Ponzi scheme is centralised. A single scammer or hub collects funds and redistributes them. Victims are lured in by promises of high, consistent returns from fake investments such as stocks or real estate. Victims hand over money expecting to simply collect returns later. They do not have to recruit others to earn a payout.
Peter, is this where the promoter or the person that's running the scheme uses some of the income from the next person to pay interest to the first person? Is that part of the scheme?
Yep. Absolutely, yep. So promoters claim underlying commercial activity exists, but no actual wealth is being created. And then the flip side then with the pyramid scheme is the structure is decentralised and hierarchical. Money flows upward through layers of recruiters. So you think back to the classic buying a seat on an airplane sort of thing.
Yep.
Victims are explicitly told they can make money by recruiting new members into the system. They must actively bring in new recruits beneath them to therefore earn their commissions, and often disguised as legitimate multi-level marketing programs, but revenue primarily comes from recruitment fees rather than actual retail sales.
Oh, right. So you're not actually creating or selling anything. You're only just getting money from someone else and putting it up the scale. So the idea is the person at the bottom is the one who is getting the money in, not the people at the top. Is that why that works?
The other way around. So the people at the top would be pulling money out and it's the people at the bottom that are propping up the people at the top.
No, that's what I mean. The ones at the bottom are the ones that are expected to bring the money into the scheme.
And they will ultimately be the losers when it all falls apart. So some of the warning signs, Alan, to watch in respect to a Ponzi scheme anyway, is if the rate of return is suspiciously high and may be guaranteed, such as 10% a month or more,
yep.
That's obviously sounds suspicious.
Yep.
The investment term may be long-term or unended, so worded as an unended investment. Someone you trust unknowingly promotes it as an investment. It could be a neighbour or someone within your social circle. So, look, I'm in on this, you know, get on board sort of thing.
Yep.
The promoter has already invested in the scheme and received great dividends. So they're saying, look at me, I've got all this money out. You need to get on board sort of thing. And it can be promoted by affiliates or even digital platforms, social media, online chat groups, and it may use buzzwords like AI and crypto.
Peter, have you any idea how much money is lost between these two schemes?
No, I didn't.
That's okay.
A lot, I think, would be the answer. And, of course, one of the things to look out for is if they're offering any sort of financial product, then you should be checking with the Australian Financial Services to make sure that they're licensed and things like that. So And of course, one of the other ones is that you mightn't be able to find independent information about the product, or you're strongly encouraged to reinvest your dividends, which is an interesting one. So what they're saying is don't take your dividends out, reinvest them, and try and go for the multiplication sort of factor, the compounding factor.
And I suppose if the people have had a bit of a payout but out of other people's money, they probably are encouraged to keep dipping in, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So a couple of the sites that if you suspect something doesn't look right or you're a bit concerned, a good one to go to is moneysmart.gov, I beg your pardon, .au.
What was it? MoneySmart.
MoneySmart, M-O-N-E-Y, smart.gov.au. And if you think it's like a pyramid or a scam, a good place to start would be scamwatch.gov.au, so that you can sort of get a bit of an education and look for the red flags, I guess. So,
Peter, could I just have that again? Scamwatch, what?
Yeah, scamwatch.gov.au.
Oh, they're both government websites.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd like to think you can trust them.
I'm not touching that.
And the rest of the homework was to sort of nominate some of the current pyramid or Ponzi schemes. And funnily enough, other than some recent ones, including the racehorse one that you mentioned, there's nothing, there's no specific warnings because, of course, unfortunately, these type of things are reactive rather than proactive.
Yeah.
But what they're saying, things to look out for again is things that use the word business opportunities in inverted commas. So that's something to watch out for. And of course, various multi-level marketing variants, cryptocurrency based Ponzi schemes are constantly circulating and targeting Australians. So cryptocurrency is probably the hot thing at the moment. There's a thing that I didn't know about called crypto harmonization. So apparently that's I got no idea, but that's a buzzword that they're using. Network marketing setups where you purchase a large amount of overpriced products and make commissions primarily by recruiting a downline, which is, of course, all your family members and friends that, you, that you're encouraged to get involved and finish up torching them. Health and wellness devices, and one of the ones they highlighted was, I say it as turmeric. Turmeric supplements are common fronts.
What are they, Peter?
That's a herb, isn't it? Turmeric or
turmeric? Oh, it is.
Or,
yeah. So they're going to use nipping scam.
As I suppose it's taken over from the old olive plantations or whatever we used to, farms or whatever. So, fake franchises, business opportunity scams. Scammers disguise pyramid schemes as lucrative ground floor business opportunities, and they also try to sell expensive training seminars or conference tickets rather than selling an actual service or genuine retail product.
That happens a bit, doesn't it, where they sell these things?
I think there's a few names that automatically come to mind from the past, but let's not go there, Peter. No, that's right. And then cryptocurrency and foreign exchange or Forex, things that they market as financial freedom clubs.
Peter, I need to take a quick break, but I want to come back to you and talk about crypto if I could.
Okay, will do.
Let's be straight back to you.
Music and love.
that was John Fogarty and Rock and Roll Girl. And just a reminder, I'll be here on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a Rock and Roll Hit Parade. And, of course, I'll be here on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music, Memories and More. So plenty of rock and roll to come up here this Sunday between 12 and 3 and 6 and 8. But we're talking to Peter, for our private investigator from Absolute Facts. Peter, you mentioned in that crypto. Now, I don't understand crypto because there doesn't seem to be any physical evidence of crypto. Am I right or have I got this whole thing wrong?
No, in theory it doesn't really exist, but it's you're speculating on a digital asset, I guess, is the easiest way to describe it. But I think the numbers, you'd be surprised. I think there was some stat out about 40% of people have actually got some sort of cryptocurrency investment. Yeah. Probably majority of them would be in Bitcoin, I should imagine.
But I don't understand how you can have a value of something that's a nothing. I must be simple, but I can't understand it.
No, well, in theory, it's an alternate currency. And I think, again, in theory, the objective is to, if you can have some financial freedom or flexibility that's not included in the banking system, I think that's the underlying attractiveness to a lot of people. Mm. And theoretically, the fees for transacting can be lower, not necessarily, but can be lower. And it's sort of an I look at it as an anti-bank sort of thing. So I'm all for it in that respect, but there are obviously massive risks, and Bitcoin, for argument's sake, halved in value over the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
So there'd be a lot of people hurting big time from that respect. So just to go back onto the scam, yep, part of it, cryptocurrency and also foreign exchange or Forex, financial freedom.
Well, what's Forex? I thought that was a drink.
Yes, very good. Not in Victoria, though, so much. Scammers utilise social media to promote fake crypto pump and dump groups, matrix investment schemes, high return Forex pools. These frequently rely on convincing early members to recruit friends and family, acting as a modern pyramid and or Ponzi scheme. And then there's an article today, in fact, in today's paper, the Geelong paper, basically saying winter scam season. Financial scam attempts more than doubled during Australia's winter months. Over the past 2 years, Norton, which is behind a lot of security, people that know Norton, has blocked than 460,000 financial scam attacks during winter, 105% increase on the average number of scams recorded across the rest of the year. So they're saying winter seasonally is a dangerous time for scams.
Would you have any idea why, Peter? I wouldn't know.
No, I don't know either. Maybe people are more inside, perhaps, or more indoors and on their computers. I can't think of a reason why. So the tactics being used involving scammers compromising social media accounts and using them to promote fake investment opportunities. Once the account was taken over, scammers may then post false stories and testimonials to create the impression of significant profits made via cryptocurrency trading, Bitcoin mining, or online investment schemes. So there's been a couple of famous people, or infamous people in some ways, having their identity either cloned or stolen.
Yeah.
And them then supposedly promoting, you know, one of these sort of schemes, much to their distaste.
How would you be if you're like, they're talking about friends and family, how would you be if you talked one of your family or half of your family into one of these schemes and the thing turned out to be a dud?
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, all these poor people that, you know, basically put all their superannuation into one egg that turns out to be a rotten egg. So you've got to feel sorry for them.
Peter, I'm going to have to take a quick break. You're not going to believe this, but I've got a cramp. I need to get up. So I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Do you remember how we loved last summer?
talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. Peter, sorry I had to cut you off. I just had to go and do something. In fact, to be honest, I had a cramp and I had to get up and walk. It was terrible. Sorry, Peter.
I think you faked a cramp because you knew there was a curly question coming
oh,
up.
Oh, so. No. I just said to the last person, every time I talk to this, Peter, he comes up with a question because they wanted to ask me a question, but theirs was a lot easier than yours. Go for it, mate.
Okay, here we go. So we're talking about adults or young people between the age of 15 to 24.
Yeah.
And the question is, Alan, how long do males of that age spend per day gaming on their computers, do you think?
I'll say 6 hours.
Oh, okay, yes, very good. 3 hours and 56 minutes for males.
Yeah.
And what would you say about females?
I'd say females would be less. I'd say maybe a couple of hours.
Yeah, 2 hours and 25 for females. So you did quite well on that one.
I was a bit out on the other one. I wonder why the guys spend so much time on it.
Well, they get caught. It's caught up in these World of Warcraft and all these other things that they get involved in. Not that I know anything about those. But
see, Peter, I've got to ask you a question now. When at 15, I obviously there was none of this electronic stuff around. But I got to tell you, by the time I got to 18, the only things that I was probably interested with a car, and by the time I got to 19 or 20, girls were much more interesting than playing on some silly machine.
Yep, more of a distraction, you think?
So I'm asking you what you would have done between 15 and 24.
Oh, pretty much the same with a little bit of sport involved in there as well. So
I forgot sport. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Although there you go. I must say I wasn't a big one on sport. You had to work too hard for that.
as my children remind me, the only game I ever actually mastered or got good at was a game called Captain Comic. I don't know how many of your listeners might remember Captain Comic, but that was...
What was that?
About 25 to 30 years ago, I think. It's the only time I ever got sucked in by a game.
What was that? Was it on a iPad or what?
Like a video game, yeah, called Captain Comic, yeah.
No, don't know. Anyway, sorry, but that was a diversion.
The kids remember it well because they got the chimes, the music coming on all the time and followed by perhaps a little bit of colourful language. Now, the next thing I've got is an article I've printed out about a warning about passwords, and it's actually titled Passwords on Repeat, so... meant to be kept secret, but Australians' favourite passwords may not be too hard to guess. The top three most used passwords are admin, password, and 123456.
I was just going to say to you that. I should have jumped in because I don't like to interrupt you. I was going to say to you, I'll bet one of them is 123456.
Yep, and that's used by tens of thousands of Australians, apparently, according to that's called NordPass, which I assume must have something to do with Norton or something. And rounding out the top five, these two I wouldn't have picked. The first one, number four, is Jolly Joel. I don't know what that
means. No, I never picked that.
And then 112233, capital A, lower B, and then the at sign.
Oh, I wouldn't have picked that one.
No, I would have thought that's quite a decent password, but apparently not. So, and the ANZ is urging customers to stay scam safe, including ensuring their passwords are secure.
Yep.
So whilst it's not convenient to come up with a new password, it's crucial to keep your business and your banking safe. So a few of the things I'm enrolled in now, you've actually got to reset your password every somewhere between six months or so, you've got to actually redo the password, which is a pain in the neck when you're asked to do it, but I guess the reasoning behind it makes sense. So, and another one that caught my eye, Alan, was avoid the urge to swerve. That's it, yes. Aussie drivers like to think they'd keep their cool if a roo jumped out in front of them, but research suggests many do the opposite. More than 40% of hidden animal, this is according to AAMI, when it comes to how they respond, one in five admits they would swerve to avoid one. When confronted with wildlife behind the wheel, it often causes drivers to lose control, swerving to miss the animal and hitting a tree or crashing into another vehicle, all of which are far worse than the original risk. And that's advice from AAMI. So given you've got a little few rural locations
out
there.
We've got plenty of listeners here that live out in the rural.
Yes, exactly. So the, I guess what in essence they're saying is don't swerve, just basically hold your line. And, of course, the other one that which I haven't mentioned here is about whether you should brake or not. And apparently the my understanding is that you don't brake because that dips the nose of the car down, which then puts the roux into your windscreen. Apparently what you're supposed to do if you're cool and calm enough is just take your foot off the accelerator. And naturally slow down rather than dipping your nose.
Would never have thought of that, to be honest with you.
No. So that was a couple of interesting ones that caught my eye. We got time for another one?
Absolutely. Go for it, mate.
All right. So this one came out shortly after we chatted last time, I think it was, and it was about the independent MP Zali Steggall talking about romance scams.
Yep.
And that she wanted them to be recognised as a form of financial abuse and the federal government to fix huge loopholes in the law. Her comments are echoed by a victim of the so-called, in inverted commas, Tinder swindler, who says Australia's laws do too little to protect those who have been manipulated emotionally and financially. So this answers perhaps one of the scam watchers saying, Australians lost more than $28.6 million to romance scams last year, an increase of 20% on the previous year.
So I reckon that's the pits when they do that to people who are lonely.
Well, that's the thing, and this is why they're proposing to make it a law against it, to outlaw it, basically. And the AFP describes romance scams as one of the most emotionally devastating forms of cybercrime. Which occurs by someone connecting, building trust, requesting money, and then disappearing with it.
I reckon that's just the pits. Peter, I'm going to ask you a question now.
Sure.
You follow a football team. Well, it doesn't matter whether you follow a football, but do you follow a football team?
It's very black and white who I follow, Alan.
Right. And how hard do you follow them? Like, how good a supporter are you?
I would have to be honest to say less so over the years, mainly to do with the quality of the game, I guess.
All right, so let me go back to when you were a real solid supporter. And
absolutely.
You know, righto. Would you have ever sent along a text to the coach or a player threatening to do them in because they kicked a goal when you didn't think they should, or whether to the coach because they lost?
No, I think I know where you're heading here, but back in those days we probably didn't have the ability to do that.
No, but if you had, would you have? I can't believe, like, I was one of the MPs has come out and they've had threats to kill them. I mean, I don't understand where this all goes.
Yeah, I think this is part of this sort of what we'd call keyboard warrior syndrome as well, where people are quite happy to hide behind their keyboard and take anonymous pot shots at pretty much everything and everyone.
But it's vile stuff, some of them.
Yeah, no, I can only agree. I can only agree. mind you, I might have vented a few times at the television that they probably
wouldn't. Yeah, but you're not hurting anyone there. I've got to take a quick break, mate, and then we'll be back with more. We've also got a question for you to take away and give some thought to as well. So I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Reuben James, in my song you'll live again. The phrases that I rhyme are just the footsteps out of time from the time when I knew you, Reuben James. Reuben James. All the folks around Madison County cussed your name. Just a no-count sharecropping colored man who would steal anything he can. And everybody laid the blame on Reuben James. Reuben James. You still walk the furrows mind. Faded shirt, the weathered brow, the calloused hands upon the plow. I loved you then and I love you now. We've been changed.
Flora Gray, the gossip of Madison County, died with child. And although your skin was black, you were the one that didn't turn your back on the hungry white child with no name. Reuben James, Reuben James, with your mind on my soul and a Bible in your right hand, you said turn the other cheek, but there's a better world awaiting for the meek. In my mind these words remain from a Reuben James.
Reuben James, you still walk the furrowed field of my mind. The faded shirt, the weathered brow, the calloused hands upon the plow. I loved you then and I love you now. Reuben James,
Reuben James. One dark cloudy day that brought you from the field, until your lonely pine box came, just a picture of me in the rain, just to sing one last refrain for Reuben James.
Reuben James, you still walk the furrowed field of my mind. The faded shirt, the weathered brow, the calloused hands upon the plow. I loved you then and I love you now. Reuben James, Reuben James.
Now, Peter, we've had a couple of questions. I'm talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. He's our private investigator that talks to us the first Wednesday of every month between 1 and 2. Peter, you've said in the past that you attend the courts occasionally, I guess maybe because people involved in cases, or sometimes just to try and get some ideas of what's going on in the criminal world. Peter, could you give some thought as when you've been to court over, the last 12 to 18 months, are you seeing the same sort of, the same people coming up more and more, or are there more people going before the courts? And the other thing is too, the crimes that while you're sitting there listening to what's going on, are they getting worse? Are they tapering off a bit? Or, yeah, tell us exactly how you see the crime scene, if you could, please, Peter.
Okay, yep, I'll take that on board.
Yep. Right, now, what else have you got? First of all, before we go, we're going to finish up with Pink Floyd and Lucifer Sam. Tell us a bit about the song.
Yes, you love the early stuff, that's for sure, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about them. I just pull them out, mate.
No, that's good. The earlier stuff did tend to be a little bit shorter in length, some of the songs, so they're probably easy to get. And
why I pick them, so I don't waste a whole lot of the time when we could be talking.
Yes, if you ever want a half-hour break for cramp, you can put on Echoes or something. I think that's 25 minutes, so you'll be right. Mm. I just want to throw in that I received a text from one of my daughters about the Captain Comic comment that I think they fondly, in inverted commas, remember me playing Captain Comic and the colourful language.
All right.
Never mind. So, Alan, I got another curly one for you, which
Question. Go on.
So, out of all the states and territories in Australia, which state or territory do you think would have the highest, at least the suburb with the highest proportion of bike commuters, as in push bike?
Oh, in push bikes?
Yes.
I'll go for South Australia.
No. And the clue was, of course, that I deliberately emphasised state or territory. So it turns out that the suburb of O'Connor in the ACT, apparently 11.6% of people there commute by bike.
I would have thought most of them went around in government cars.
Oh, now. And then interesting, the other one I found interesting was the second highest was the east side of the Northern Territory. I presume that must be Darwin, which is 9.4%.
Gee, I would have thought it would have been too hot to have been riding around bikes up in Darwin.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Yeah. So, yeah, we both would have been wrong.
I would have never, ever put Darwin in the top list at all for that reason.
No, exactly. And the lowest, the state with the lowest suburb is Byron Bay in New South Wales, which is 4.9%, which is the highest for New South Wales, but the lowest overall, if you understand what I mean.
Well, there's heaps of money up there, isn't it? They probably all drive their Mercedes and the BMWs.
Yeah, exactly. And Carlton North is the highest one in Victoria at 6.3%.
Carlton North?
Yeah, Carlton North. So never mind. I'm just going to switch back onto the this business about this Zali Steggall comment and stuff like that. And we got to the point where we're talking about the AFP, who point out that it's illegal to obtain financial advantage by deception, including deceptive intentions. However, it's not illegal to request money from someone, a loophole often used by romance scammers who claim any money transferred to them, even hundreds of thousands of dollars, is a gift, and that's the loophole that they're trying to close down. So if they're saying that it's it's a gift, it's not. They'll argue that they're not trying to gain financial advantage by deception, which of course is an offence.
Gee, that's pretty average.
Yeah, and that's what Zali Steggall's on about, basically saying she wants tougher laws that hold scammers accountable. And the quote from her is, "These cruel scams often follow the same patterns we see in domestic and family violence, coercive control, emotional manipulation, and financial abuse."
So anything that plays on a person's emotion is just atrocious, isn't it?
That's right. And basically she's pointing out that the federal law has not kept up with the trend.
I'm sorry, I don't know whether you saw it, but I think the year before last, or it might have even been last year, that there was actually a guy who videoed himself and telling him how much he loved him and all that, so he wasn't game enough for frightened to put his face up.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see that one, but I could imagine that happening. Yeah. I mentioned earlier about the Tinder swindler, in inverted commas, who apparently operates a popular TikTok account. Has been convicted of fraud in the past, but was not charged over a recent lady that basically got scammed. So that's what the Tinder swindler is all about.
Why didn't he get charged, you know?
Oh, it's probably the loophole, which is why they're doing that. So, yeah, that was something that came out about a month ago, just after we last spoke, and I thought that was worth bringing up. So, well,
absolutely.
And then to continue on the scam theme again, we've got fake cops fleece victims a second time. So dozens of Australians are suspected to have been duped by Cambodian scammers who allegedly impersonated federal police to access bank accounts.
Sure.
Victims who had previously been scammed were allegedly contacted by the Cambodian crew, who posed as AFP officers to assist, in inverted commas, in recovering lost funds.
Got them once and then they come back and have a second go at them.
Yeah. So the phony AFP members would allegedly ask the victims for their bank details under the guise of assisting the police investigation, all to gain further access to Australians' cash. Up to 300 Australian victims have been identified. The script read out over the phone asked the innocent victim to agree to a confidentiality agreement to discuss their lost money. On the basis that the agreement protects them and the investigation.
Peter, I hate to ask you to do any more, and if it's too hard, don't bother. Would there be any figures available that who's been scammed more in the romance, either male or female?
Oh, okay, yep, romance, male versus female. Okay, I thought we might have addressed that, but I'll do it again.
No, not sure. I'm tipping the female.
You could be right, actually. Yeah.
I don't know. I might have got one of your guesses right.
Yes, you might have, yes. I think it comes back to that the unfortunate topic of loneliness, doesn't it?
So, yeah.
I think that's what that's about. Yep, I'll make a note of that.
We've got about three minutes left to go, mate.
No worries. I printed something off a little while ago and I didn't get around to talking about it, but it was about counterfeit cash, and I think we vaguely mentioned at one stage because I was a little surprised that there were fake $20 notes around as well as the usual 50s and 100s that you'd expect. But basically they're saying a boom in counterfeit cash is forcing retailers to invest in technology to weed it out amid a surge of in imported fakes. Sure. And I think you notice with the banks now, they're pretty much scanning any cash that you hand over the counter through that machine to make sure it's legitimate.
And there's a sign up in a supermarket down here in Hillsville saying if you buy anything with fake a counterfeit money here, we're going to ring the police straight away because we got you on CCTV.
Yeah. And, of course, I think perhaps what some of them are doing is slipping a couple of fakes in amongst a wad of genuine notes and trying to get away with it that way. And, it puts a lot of pressure on retail staff, particularly perhaps young inexperienced people that are, just take a $50 note on face value and not maybe look too closely at it, et cetera. So,
Can I just tell you something funny? I'm reading a book about the underworld. Now, I can only take it that it's true. And they reckon one of the people that hired a killer to knock someone off went and paid the shooter with counterfeit money.
Yeah, well, that was probably a bit of a stupid move, wasn't it? So,
well, I don't think it went well for the bloke who did it. I think he wound up shot too. But
yeah, no, not a smart move. I wouldn't have thought. But never mind.
Right, we've got about a minute and a half, mate.
And again, I've got some scam numbers that I didn't get around to last time. But again, $2.8 billion was the number that's being quoted. As the cost of scamming in 2025, with investment scams being 837 of the $2.18 billion, and that's from the National Anti-Scam Centre. So I guess they've been collating the numbers, unfortunately, quite heavily. So, So to be honest with you, Alan, I've chewed through all my bits of paper.
We're just about ready to go anyway, Peter. I've got to mention that I'll be back next Wednesday between 12 and 3, and between 1 and 2 will be our legal hour. So if you've got any questions on legal, shoot us a fax on info@yarravalleyfm.org.au. And again, we've been talking to PI Peter from Absolute Facts. We really appreciate the time you give us, Peter, and the homework that you do for us, because it's fascinating to hear some of this stuff. A lot of this stuff, luckily, we don't come in contact with, but, obviously, particularly when you talk to romance scams, people, no matter where they are in Healesville or anywhere in the Yarra Valley, they're just as susceptible as anyone else, aren't they?
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely agree. And, I was right. You have picked a very early one, again, from Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which is the second Pink Floyd album ever, which was combined with another album called A Saucer Full of Secrets, and it came out as marketed as A Nice Pair. P-A-I-R, not P-E-A-R.
I got to go, mate. I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and more, and I'll be back Sunday night with 6 and 8 with a Rock and Roll Hip Hop. Thank you very much for your time, Peter, and I'll talk to you next month.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Thanks, mate. Bye.